Series of sermons in regards to the Apostle Peter. Especially we will preach about the first letter of Peter and the second letter of Peter. However, it's very important in order to understand these letters that we understand first Peter in the Gospels. How was Peter in the Gospels? When the letters are preached out of the context of the gospel, of sometimes we lose a lot of the meaning. So usually we preach verse by verse and in a very expositional way, but today, because I have to do introduction to this series of sermons, I will speak more about in general, especially, let me start with the relationship between the churches and the Apostle Peter and Apostle Paul. So we will begin saying that Paul and Peter are very important people, very important persons in the Gospels and in the Bible. However, because we are humans and we usually don't keep the right balance, there are churches, there are Christian places that usually emphasize one or the other. It's almost very difficult. We have to keep a very strong balance and be very intentional if we want to emphasize both apostles in the Bible. Now, sometimes you can even read Paul with the eyes of Peter, or you can read Peter with the eyes of Paul. We know that those two apostles are important and are brought by Christ, were inspired by the Holy Spirit, not to write their own words, but to write the words of God. So it's very important to keep in mind that they are not divided. They are united in the same gospel. However, it's the men around them, the people around them, that emphasize one or the other. Peter, just have some data here. Peter was is mentioned 162 times in the Bible, in 156 verses. Paul is mentioned 163 times in 159 verses. So it's almost exactly, just for two digits, it's very similar, the amount of times that Apostle Paul and Apostle Peter is mentioned. Sometimes there is a mistake that people believe that Peter only preached to the Jews or to the Jewish people, and that Paul only preached to the Gentiles. But that's, there are some fundament about it. However, the Bible said that the first Gentile, the first person who converted to Christianity actually came through the words and the preaching of the Apostle Peter. Paul is the one that said, I have sent, you know, to the gospel is salvation to the Jews and to the Gentile. And he was called from all those two groups to make one group to worship the Lord. So let me make some comments that may be sound like generalization, okay? Not necessarily apply to everybody, but most of people that came from Hispanic background usually came from churches that emphasize Apostle Peter, or that are built on the sense of the Apostle Peter in the Bible. And most of the churches that came from Scotland or came from United States usually emphasize Apostle Paul, which is more the idea of theology or the justification by faith, which all of these good are excellent. However, there is not much emphasis in the aspect of the Epistle of Peter when you see the gospel being applied to more concrete realities of people that are suffering. You read the first Peter, it's a letter that speaks about people that experiencing different suffering in different contexts. So for that reason, we have said in the past that sometimes Latin American churches usually emphasize the suffering Christ. You know, that's the reason they carry an image of Christ crucified. Because our churches are countries that emphasize the theology of suffering. But in America, at least in the America of the past, because right now there are a lot of people, immigrants from different nations coming to America, and it's changing a little bit the face of religiosity in this country. But in America, usually it's emphasized the resurrected Christ, the Christ of the celebration, the idea that something that we celebrate, that something that is alive. And people preach about Jesus Christ crucified, but there is not much emphasis on that. So we are a ministry with many shortcomings, as you can see, with many difficulties. But one thing of our dream, one thing that we desire and we long to see, is to keep a balance between those elements of the theology of suffering and the theology of celebration. Too much emphasis in suffering. Don't allow to see the victory of Christ. Too much emphasis on celebration. All about, you know, we're good and God is blessing us. Don't allow us to see the suffering of the neighbor. So it's very important. The problem with the churches keep separated in a very homogeneous way. You know, only white English-speaking people on one side, in one church, and only Hispanic or African-American people in the other place. The problem with that separation is that they lost the rich balance of the gospel. The rich balance of the gospel that is not only about your relationship with God, but also your relationship with your neighbor. That is not only about celebration, but also means about suffering. Both elements need to be in the worship, both elements need to be in the Bible. And now that we came to preach Peter today, we want to see and preach Peter not from the eyes of Peter and not from the eyes of Paul, but we'll make an effort to preach about Peter from the eyes of Jesus Christ. Need to be an intentional way, because we have the tendency to go to the right or the left. So with that introduction, with that disclaimer, we're not preaching Peter today, but we're preaching Jesus Christ. So let me talk about this passage today. The topic will be this morning, what is a disciple of Jesus Christ? This is the time in John 1 when Jesus Christ called his disciples and when he called Peter. What means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? The reason we're preaching about Peter and about Paul is not to emphasize one or the other, but it's to emphasize Christ and that you and me, if we are not, need to become disciples of Jesus Christ. And if we are not already, if we are disciples of Jesus Christ, we need to make disciples for Jesus Christ by the grace of God. I want to emphasize especially the change of name that God, that Jesus Christ gave to Peter. What was the name of Peter? It was Simon. Simon, son of John, the Bible says here. And Jesus Christ called him and gave a new name. He gave him a new name. He will say, you will be called Peter, which means stone. Okay? Jesus Christ didn't change name to all the apostles. There are different change of names in the Bible. We have been preaching Genesis and we see a change of name, especially in Abraham. You remember? Abraham was changed his name in order to emphasize that he will be the father of many nations, that he will be the father of many people. All the nations came to Christ in the face in Abraham. So, but the idea of changing names means transformation, mean that you need to be transformed by the word of God. So Peter is transformed here. There is a change in Peter. You need to be a change in your heart. You need to be a change in your behavior. It's true that you were not saved by the works, but change need to happen. So the main thing here that we emphasize is that be a disciple of Christ means that people change. There need to be a transformation on you. People refuse to be changed and to be transformed. As a matter of fact, today people are see transformation or change as something bad, you know. They say, be yourself. Just keep yourself, no matter what. That's the emphasis of the world. Don't change. And in one sense, it's good. I mean, you don't have to change because others are saying that you must change. However, it's no good in the sense that if you are called to be a disciple of Christ, you need to be transformed. You need to be changed in the Lord. Changed by the sacrificial work of Christ, by the blood of Christ, which is called in this passage the Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world. Changed by the hearing of the gospel. The Bible said that when you hear the word of God, God creates faith in you, and you become a follower of Christ. Need to be a change in your heart from be a seeker to be a someone that found Jesus Christ. You know, there are people that are seeking God all the time, all their life, and sometimes they never find it. You find Jesus Christ if Jesus Christ found you first. So need to be a transformation after that. You need to be a change from an impersonal relationship with Christ to a personal relationship. It's what Peter has. And also a transformation from an old man, old woman, to a new man, a new woman. So we'll see how this applies in this case. First of all, a transformation by the sacrifice of Christ. John the Baptist preached about Jesus, and he said, "This is the Lamb of God." And immediately, two of his disciples start following Christ. Means that it's that moment when they understand that he was the Messiah. What that means, the Lamb of God. Why is Jesus Christ called the Lamb of God? Well, if you read the context in the Bible, there are several things in the Old Testament, but two important things. One is the Passover. Do you remember when people were slaves in Egypt? They were in bondage, slavery. And God came to give them freedom, but the Pharaoh refused to let the people go. So came the 10 plagues, and the angel of death passed over the people of Israel when they sacrificed a lamb and they painted the doors with the blood of the lamb. It had to be a lamb without blemish. They sprinkle in the door lintels. So in every house that was not a sign of the blood, the angel of death entered and killed the first son. One preacher put it this way. In every household in Egypt that night, there was either a dead lamb or a dead firstborn. A dead lamb or a dead man. That was the result. So you didn't have the blood of the lamb on your door, you will have a dead man in your house. Your firstborn was dead. But if you don't have any dead man in your house, it's because you have the blood of the lamb. You have a dead lamb sacrificed for the salvation of the people. It is the same. That's the preaching. Why we are interested? Why we want to be transformed, be changed? You know, why the people in the churches want people to change? Well, be careful. There can be many reasons, okay? But if they are according with the word of God, or with the preaching of Christ, if they want to change because they want to be saved from destruction. Peter, the one that in this passage is called to encounter the Lamb of God, he preached in the book of Acts and said to the people, be saved from the destruction of this generation. So that's the preaching of the church. Be saved from the walk to destruction. As we are called to leave the bondage of sin, you are in slavery of sin, you are called to embrace this Lamb of God. So the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the only one that can make you free from that destruction, or from death, which is the consequence of sin. So it's a change as a product of death. Someone has died for you to change. You know, sometimes when we are when our children are in the school, sometimes the school is hard for them. We believe that they don't do anything, but they have just to go study. But if you remember your years when you were for the adults, when you were in school, it was hard. Right? Every day go to the school, especially for those that go to school. And stand the same schedule, and study things that you sometimes don't like it, but you have to study. It's hard. Or when you are called to do a work that you don't like it, but you do for love, and they do for the love of their parents, because they know that their parents sacrificed to give them education. Or you work hard in things that perhaps you don't like it, but you work hard because of the love of your children. You know that someone's sacrificing. How about when we understand that the Lord gave his only son for you to change? You cannot say, no, this is the way I am. You know, why you want for me to change? God has sent his only son to die in the cross for you and me to change and be transformed in a follower of Christ. That's John the Baptist was saying. Follow him. Don't follow me. Follow him. Because I am not the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of this world. But this transformation also came from hearing, as you see here. The Bible said that faith came from hearing the word of God, from listening the word of God. Now, today, with the media and different ways how the word of God is spread around, and how different possibilities how you can share the word of God. But it's always through this Bible, it's always to the preaching of the word of God that change needs to happen. I don't know if you hear about ordinary means of salvation or extraordinary means of salvation. There are some extraordinary means of salvation. We cannot deny that. You know, some people Lord is sovereign to do whatever he wants. But the ordinary means of salvation is that people be saved to the announce of Jesus Christ, to the preaching of the word. So here in this passage, you see very clear this in the verse that you are reading here. It's very clear when they said, when they were in John chapter 1, the Bible said in verse 36, and he looked at Jesus, and he walked by and said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they follow Jesus. You see the result? You hear, you follow. If you have ears to hear, you must follow Jesus Christ. So that's the calling of the word of God. That's the role of the church, of the kingdom of God, to bring many people to hear the word of God and to be saved and to be transformed and to change. Also, we have said that we are called from seeking Christ to find Jesus Christ. And we have seen this in this passage again when they said in the verse 39, verse 40. One of the two who hear John speak and follow Jesus was Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. We have found the Messiah, which means Christ. The long-awaiting Messiah. This is the one that for many, many years the Bible, the prophets have been preaching about. Now we have found him. What makes you a disciple of Christ or someone that is not a disciple of Christ is that you know that you have found the Messiah, the Savior. I mean, doesn't mean that you are satisfied with everything. Me and you need to still keep working to change your life, need to transform every day into a disciple of Christ. However, you are not seeking any more like some of those seekers that don't know truth, but you have found the Messiah. You know where the truth is. I remember I have a cousin that usually, when I was studying theology, he made fun of me all the time. When I went to visit, she was the husband of my cousin. When I went to visit him, he said, "Hey, here it is, the seeker of truth." You know, he called me the seeker of truth. You know, like I was seeking truth all the time because he saw me with a lot of books I had to study, you know, for the classes. I didn't say anything, but one time I explained to her, you know, I'm not seeking the truth anymore. I know that sounds no postmodern, but that's the truth. We're not seeking the truth anymore. We have found the truth. We have found the Messiah. What we're doing is study the truth. And what we're doing is applying to our life so the truth can change us. So you are still full of doubts. I mean, that's normal in this time, in this life. However, if you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you must follow him by faith. And the Bible said that faith implies that you trust in the truth. You have to have confidence. You don't have confidence in your own mind trying to find the truth in your own path. But you have confidence in Jesus Christ, who is the path, the truth, as the Bible said, and the only way. Also imply a transformation from impersonal to personal. Look, this personal contact that happens here. It's very beautiful. When Peter came to Jesus Christ, he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. Shall be called Cephas." Several things there. The Bible said that Jesus looked at him. Obviously, Jesus was looking at the disciples all the time. But here means there was an important act of Jesus Christ looking direct to the eyes of Peter. I cannot imagine what Peter will feel when that happened. You know, one day we will be able to see Jesus Christ. The Bible said that. But never in direct experience we have seen eyes to eyes with the eyes of Christ, isn't it? We don't have that experience, that personal experience the apostle has. That can be amazing. The Son of God came to see him and look to his eyes. And then he called him for his name and his last name. Well, they didn't have last name like we have today, but the last name is Son of John. "You are Simon, the son of John." I don't know if that happens to you, that when you were little, your parents want to call your attention. They call you for your first name, your last name, right? That happened to you. Or you have children, you do the same with your children. You call for the first name and last name. You say, "Camila, come here." You know, Camila didn't came. "Camila Rachel Castro, come here." You know, it's a strong sound, isn't it? must come now. Jesus Christ looked to his son and said, Simon, son of John. Means the call is not in general. You know, people said, oh, Jesus Christ came to this world to die for the sins. So what? Jesus Christ wants to call you by your name, to you personally. He knows you very well. He knows you better than yourself know you. We suddenly believe, I am this way, you say. You know, some people said, I was talking with a young man and said, well, I am that way, you know. I was born that way. Well, you don't know, my friend, exactly what you are. You don't know yourself very well. Actually, the whole work of the philosophy in the beginning, in the Greek philosophy, was knowing yourself. Because that was a hard task, hard job. But Jesus Christ, God knows you exactly what you are, and what your needs are. So he, as he came to Peter and called, looking into his eyes, called with his personal name, God is calling you to become a follower of Christ. You need to have a personal experience with God. And the last thing, need to be a transformation between an old man to a new man. An old man in the image of Adam to a new man in the image of Christ. An old woman to the image of Adam and Eve, and a new woman to the image of Jesus Christ. So the Bible here said that Jesus Christ said, you are Simon, and you shall be called Cephas. You are this way, but you are called to be this way. What does it mean to give a different name to Peter? The Bible says, we have read in Isaiah and also in Revelations, the Bible said that every one of us will receive a new name. You know that? That's what the Bible said. Every one of us, to those who overcome, said the Bible, I will give them a new name that only God knows. You know, of course, Revelation is a symbolic, a book full of symbols. But what does mean is that you, if you are a real follower of Christ, if I am a real follower of Christ, I need to have a new identity. The name in the past was a sign of authority. Like when we have a last name, means that there is authority on me. You know, we have lost that, but that's the way that was in the past. I'm called Castro because my father was Castro. I was the son of my father. Is that right? And he as well, from his grandfather. Today, you know, in America happens something that is not common in Latin America, that the woman received the last name of the husband. You know, it's not that way right now, but in the past means that they were under authority of the husband. You know, for that reason, have a last name. You know, so the idea of having a different name means that you are now under authority of Jesus Christ. You are a different person. You belong to Jesus Christ. You belong to the Messiah. What is your identity? You are a human. You are a sinner. Now you are called to be a newborn in Christ. God is saying, you are Simon, son of Jonah. Now you are called to be a stone. That's the meaning of Peter. You know, he's not called to be the rock of the church. You know, churches that emphasize Peter usually believe that Peter is called to be the rock, because they emphasize Peter. And we know that it's not the truth, that we must emphasize Christ, and that Christ is the rock. And in fact, Peter himself say that Christ is the rock, and that we are stones, is what Peter say in the letters. We are stones in this building. So he's an important stone, because he has one leader, and he was the one that introduced the gospel to the first Gentile, to Cornelius. He's an important stone. He will be a stone for the kingdom of God. You are Simon, son of Jonah. You will be called Cephas in Aramaic, which means Peter. Now, it's very interesting that these two names are usually mentioned in the Bible. Sometimes Peter is called Simon, and sometimes Peter is called Cephas. By Jesus Christ himself. And if you follow very careful, you will see that sometimes he's called Simon to refer to his old nature, and sometimes he's called Peter to refer to the new nature or the new duty that he has as apostle or disciple of Jesus Christ. This means that because you have a different nature now in Jesus Christ, doesn't mean that your old nature is completely gone. That's not the truth. You're still a human, and you're still a sinner. Means that the Bible said, as Peter himself says in the epistles, that there is a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. So this contrast in the life of Peter, there is a contradiction in Peter, in his life. It's the same contradiction in you. There is no any man in the Bible that was prized more for Jesus Christ than Peter. You know that? You know, Jesus Christ spoke highly of Peter. He said, Peter, Simon, son of John, what you have said, what you have confessed, nobody has said that, because that was revealed only by the Holy Spirit. Wow, how much I would like that Jesus Christ said that about me. That's a great praise, isn't it? But then in the same passage, that's in Matthew 16, in the same passage, Jesus Christ said, get behind of me, Satan. So Jesus Christ called him, you know, a great announcer of the truth, and at the same time, an instrument of the devil to Peter, because he was both. There was a struggle in his life. He came to Jesus Christ, don't go to the cross, you know, have interest in yourself. So we see that contradiction in the life of Peter, a contradiction in our life, isn't it? How many of you here in the morning today, you know, maybe there are some exceptions, but most of you said, wow, that's a cold Sunday, isn't it? You know, why should go to church today? I can go next Sunday. There is always a next Sunday. Well, not always, but we believe so, right? We feel that contradiction in our heart. Why should go to, you know, to sing songs and listen to a guy there to talk? That's our old nature, our flesh. But also there is a call from the Spirit that said, come to worship Jesus Christ. Come to build his church. You are a stone in his building. You have a new name. If you are a Christian, you have a new name. You may believe that you are not important for this church, for this congregation. That's wrong. If you are a Christian, if you are a believer, you are important. Not because yourself, but because God has given a new name. You know, for this worship to happen here, there are many things that need to be done behind the scene. A lot of people are working this, because all people are stones in this building. Not any of them is the rock. Only Jesus Christ is the rock. And we are called to be transformed in good stones for the advancing of his kingdom. You know, I want to encourage you to come to this church to listen more about how the grace of God worked in the life of Peter. How Jesus Christ worked in the life of this man. Sometimes Peter is an amazing figure. And let me tell you, very not much emphasized in the Presbyterian Church in America. Usually the apostle that's emphasized in the Presbyterian Church is Paul, because we have made justification of faith, and Romans especially, you know, the most important part of our theology. It's not the same with Scotland, because Scotland was a suffering church, and they have to also emphasize different other aspects of the theology. So I'm calling you to be a follower of Christ. It is the will of God that you came to this congregation. This congregation is full of flaws, okay, of problems. All accents are welcome to this congregation. as you know, but we are called to be stones to build his kingdom in the way that God has called us. Let's pray to the Lord for that be a reality in our heart. Father, thank you so much for bless our heart with this word, the preaching of your word. Thank you for gather your people to worship your name today. We confess to you that it's easy for us to point mistakes and errors in the life of Peter. But how about our lives, Lord? We're full of shortcomings, full of struggles in our own heart, in our own life. We want to ask that your blessing touch us this morning and transform us, change us for our own sake and for the sake of your kingdom. In Jesus Christ, amen. I want to we will have a time that is called the profession of faith of new members in the congregation. Usually